that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 3rd, 2022. What a beautiful sunrise we had here at the Radio Ranch this morning. Beautiful orange glow this morning, and oh, just a cloudless day right now, a cloudless day. But thanks for joining us, and we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Brother Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning down there in Colorado. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And I think that's all we have on. Did I miss anybody? Guess not. That's good. Well, Remnant, we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you'd like to give us a call. And that's 307-745-5913. And got plenty to talk about, plenty to pray about if we get to that point. And but we'll open up in prayer. Jason, we'd ask if you would do that for us.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. We thank you in this day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice in that. And we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, and we thank you for the sunshine, we thank you for the rain, for your guidance and your direction. And we ask, Father, that you do just that, that you guide us, direct us, and lead us in the paths of righteousness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call, we'll do our best to get your call on. And, you know, I just this morning, coming in, getting everything turned on, and took a glance at the headlines and saw one that said 13,000, they call them migrants, 13,000 migrants apprehended in one sector of Texas. Not in a year, not in a month, in 1 week. 13,000. They call them migrants. Illegals, invaders, that were apprehended. Now that doesn't even even say how many got through that one place. But talk about just absolutely overwhelming the Border Patrol, the whatever social services are down there, just trying to feed or have water or restrooms for 13,000 people in a week is just unimaginable. And that's in one Texas sector. And I think there's 12 down there. And so if you start doing the math, it is, as the Bible talks about, I think in Joel and in different places, an innumerable number of people, of invaders, of, well, in Joel it talks about the locusts. But the numbers are just astounding. And it's, you know, the state government down there has their hands tied. They are overwhelmed. Absolutely overwhelmed. And I think those that are trying to maintain a semblance of a border are overwhelmed. And that is not being presented to the American people. It's like the federal government is down there with a big backhoe just opening up the wall, the hole, whatever you want to call it, wider and wider and wider. But 13,000 in one place in 1 week, and you have to do something with those people. You can't just put them in a football stadium and ignore them. And so what do we do? No, we give them food, we give them water, sanitation facilities, medical care, and don't send them back. You know, I know. Oh, we about the most that's been in the headlines has been how the governor down there has sent some busloads up to New York and D.C. So there's 50 to 100 of them. That's a drop in the bucket to the 13,000 caught in one area, 1 week. It is an absolute invasion, an absolute change that is being fomented. That has been planned and is being carried out right now, an absolute change for this country. And what does our president talk about? He goes online and gives a war speech against Americans. He goes on and talks unity, but says all of you that support Trump are against this nation. You are the enemy. And it's just insanity. Absolute insanity. And I guess it is continuing on because there's some that just haven't woke up to it yet. That's about the only thing I can think of it. And so, but those numbers, you know, we see 13K. That's 13,000. 1 week, one sector. And so when you start multiplying that out, times all the sectors, times all the weeks, for the couple of years this has been going on, millions, just an absolute invasion. Am I off on this, guys, or is this just not, you know, oh, well, just the way it is?
Well, one thing that you got to realize is, too, is we've got a whole bunch of people that here in America that don't want to work. And, you know, there's a lot of those people that are coming over here for one thing, and that's, you know, a lot of them are getting jobs and working. And, you know, that's the truth of the matter. You know, they come over here, they're taking jobs. You got people that are out of college, that are in high school, that are in college, that don't want to work. Or if they want to work, they want a part-time job, and they want to work a little bit, and they want to work around their own schedule, and they're just completely entitled people. And you know, it opened up a void for workers. And you know, I mean, that's the biggest problem right now in anybody that owns a business in the United States right now is having people to work for them, because, you know, they all have the same problem, is nobody wants to work. And there's people that are, you know, saying, hey, you know, I didn't want to hire, you know, illegals before, but I can't find anybody else that wants to work. And, you know, I've run into the same thing. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's sad, but, you know, yeah, that's where it's at.
Well, that, you know, but it goes back to, we are the problem. You know, the buck stops here. We're the ones that's supposed to be in charge of our households, in charge of our local government, state government, you know, of the country. God has given us that position, and whenever we will not do our job, do it right, and do it God's way, it leaves a void, and the void's not going to stay open. If there weren't anything for those illegals to, if there wasn't anything for them here when they came here, they would turn around and go back, but that's not the case. And then, unfortunately, you know, the other side of it is they got all this government assistance and, you know, all this different stuff that they can add to their jobs that they're making the cash on. And, yeah, makes for a pretty good setup for them.
Yeah, we make it real easy for them, that's for sure. As far as, you know, the government assistance and stuff like that. But, you know, there's a lot of them that aren't on that are, you know, going to jobs on farms and farming.
Yep.
Yeah, I just can't help but think what that, you know, we hear about the change in demographics and the change in the cultural makeup of this country, and we've seen it. I think we're five years into the school-age children from kindergarten through 4 years of college. We're 5 years into that generation. For the last 5 years, the whites are just in this nation that have always made up the majority of America, since America's been America, are not the majority anymore. They're just another one of the many minorities. And so we see that. We certainly see it in the workplace. There is a change, and I guess that's the word that keeps coming back up, is there is a change coming. There's a change that, it's not that it's happening next month. It has happened. And I think most people don't realize it. A change that in how most people, you know, picture America to be. The crime is just, I mean, MS-13, these gangs that are just running free in the cities, that control part of the cities here in the good old USA, you know, murder, rape, killing, it doesn't matter. They just, it's just accepted today. And there's just no rebuttals. There's no, there's no coming against it. It seems like out in the, you know, when you talk to most people, because most people aren't aware of it.
To your population decrease and being fewer whites and all, you know, it costs money to have children and raise children, and it's a commitment, and so there are fewer and fewer yep. white folks that are having children, statistically speaking, because they want to play and they don't want to have the responsibility, and you know, they're going down that trail, and I would think as later on in life they would probably regret it, but I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, but that, once again, we're at the root of that problem. Our people are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like you said, Josh, there's a lot of people that don't want to have children, and they don't want to have the commitment, they don't want to have the responsibility, and, you know, and it's got a name, you know, be fruitful and multiply, and they just don't understand that they don't trust God enough to believe that they can do it. And, you know, that's where we're at on a lot of different fronts, and basically the root of all the problems that we're talking about. You know, it's, you know, they don't understand that, you know, when God says be fruitful and multiply, that we're supposed to do it. They don't understand that when God says you're supposed to work, you know, 6 days and take a day off, that you're supposed to do it. You know, it falls back on, his people, and you know, it's the chastisement that we're getting is because of sin, and we've got a sin problem in America.
When Richard was talking about the change, I was thinking, you know, the opposite direction, the change that got us here is that falling away from God and His ways, and either the ignorance of His word or the disobedience of it. And you know, that's we got a handbook, we got an instruction manual, we just gotta do our best to follow it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Yeah, we've it's been brought up before, and we've talked before about in, you know, going back to $1.35 gas, you know, getting things put back in order, returning. Just like we've talked about, there's, you know, there's nowhere else to go from here. There's no going back. I think, Paul, you've mentioned that a couple times. I think it's been brought up in the conversations. There's no going back. The enemy has done all they can, and again, they're God's servants. They're doing what they're instructed to do, to chastise, to bring God's people back to Him, and they're doing what they do. But that change is there. That you know, those buzzwords of the enemy. The Obama nation used that word quite a bit. Change. And now we've, you know, in this O'Biden administration, build back better. Well, as they destroy, as we allow, like you said, Josh, you know, as we allow this destruction, as we are not, God's people are not taking their responsibilities, not obeying the word, believing the wolves in sheep clothing when they tell them the law has been done away with, you know, this change comes, just like you said, it came in the change from the godly society to allowing sin in the land and it being accepting of sin. Well, there, that only lasts for so long. You know, there was a change that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and that we are seeing a change in this nation. We are, and it, the wheels, they move slow, but they move steady. And it is, you know, how many times do we talk about that? Well, this, you know, our children are not coming up in the America we know or we knew, but we came up in an America that our parents, you know, we didn't know the America our parents knew. And it's like that, been like that for generations. And it's coming to a head. It's coming to a point. It can only go so long. And that point that's coming, that event that's coming is not the rapture, folks. That's not what we're talking about. I know there's an end in sight, I don't think we've quite got there, but those birth pangs are continuing and growing, for sure.
Well, you go back when all this happened, when they broke down the borders and they NAFTA and all that stuff. I mean, that's what's huge, to breaking down our borders and they broke down our law. You ask a person on the street what sin is, and I will bet you probably wouldn't find one. From what I know, I've asked people, a Catholic and a Lutheran come the closest, they'll say it's a violation of the Ten Commandments. Well, that's real close to the truth, but it's more than that. But they're the only two that I've ever got any kind of an answer out of that was even similar to the truth. And when you don't know what sin is, when law leaves the church, law leaves the world, and the church has lost it. I mean, you're in a 501c3 church, that jurisdiction is the federal government. And then, the whole thing is, you know, they give a 501c3 to a church, and farmers have specials on taxes, and the reason they do that is because they would have been the first to rebel against it. But so they gave them a privilege, and then they didn't fight it. So, but, you know, your wages are sacred. You're supposed to be paid at the end of every day, and nobody withhold anything. I mean, they've got us over a barrel. And this didn't just happen. The Federal Reserve came in 1913, and the income tax came with it, because if they just printed money and didn't regulate it, it would just go bizarre like it is right now. So this didn't just happen. The churches went to sleep in the early 1900s already. They should have fought that immediately, you know, because the Bible says we're not withhold a man's wages overnight. Now, that takes care of all of that. And then in the tax system, so you can't hand your property on to your kids. They just fight you tooth and nail. So to lose your heritage, the law has been taken out of the church. You read the law, it converts the soul, the Bible says. This didn't just happen, and we're right to the end. It is, and that Bible says a stranger will rule over you, and they'll consume your food like locusts. And this is what's going on, but it's God's judgment. You know, like I said the other night, we're not to call this a conspiracy, because this is judgment of God. He called the Assyrian his servant too, like Nebuchadnezzar. These people are God's servant. He's bringing us on us, so we will repent. Repent or perish. So that's my take on it. This didn't just happen. We're in deep doo-doo, and it was our own fault nationally because we turned to the other God. They have nothing. All of your programs are federal handouts to farmers and stuff like that, and now it's federal money. And when you take it, there's always a hook. Plus, that's how they survive, is because they've taken a profitability out of farming. The farmer could be the richest man in the neighborhood because he has everything that you need. Everybody else is playing off of that. So,
but it's just the opposite, Paul.
Yeah.
It's just the opposite. You do. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines. I see it ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that this is not the rapture. But as I have learned in my Bible study and from numerous pastors, previous to the rapture, there will be a similar event that will bring peace and blessing and revival to the land. And I believe that that's the switchover event that we've been waiting for, and it's going to happen in our time.
Well, I mean, it sure may. You know, I mean, the Bible, as was said earlier, is our book of instruction. You know,
exactly.
It says to pray for our leaders and those in authority so that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life. And and some people believe that instruction and some people don't. You know, the word tells us to forgive so that we can be forgiven. Some people do that, and when they do, that peace, that tranquility is there in their life. It might be the world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's no doubt about that. It's, as Pastor used to say, it is going to Babylon. It is Babylon. And it talks about, they talk about worldwide peace. They talk about unity in these things. But it's, you know, if you can have peace and unity and understanding among two brethren, that's really something. It is. This world that we're not to be part of, but in, it is. It's spiraling down. The house of cards is falling. But for those that read the word, that abide in the word, that look to the word, that trust in the word, that live the word, that apply it, not perfectly, but to the best of their ability, well, we have a refuge. We have a fortress, a stronghold, that that cannot be and will not be defeated. And the rest of the world doesn't. It's available, but yeah, you know, most of the world and most of the people in this nation just turn away from it. Where are you calling from this morning?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm calling from South Dakota. Oh, yeah, and something that the false prophets of Baal from the 501c3 contract following Constantine and all that obviously will not preach. Well, they even tell you that God is in charge of the government, but what they fail to preach is that there are two governments. There's God's government for God's people, in which God's people are not supposed to be subject to the world's government. The world's government is for those that are descendants of the reason why when Moses was getting the Ten Commandments, they built the golden calf, and God had his followers destroy those that worshiped the golden calf. And so there's nothing new under the sun here, but you're going to follow one master. You know, you're going to follow the God of this world, or you're going to follow the God of heaven.
Amen. Amen. And, amen. You know, Jesus said that. He said, you're either...
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, we got to move on here.
You're either for me or against me. I mean, he said the same thing. Yeah, like Jason said, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a great morning.
Yeah, and, you know, another, moving on, there's, you know, there's a lot of people just got their children back in school, whether it's Christian school, whether it's public school, whether it's homeschooled, whether, you know, whatever it is. I know that there's this big, big push, and it's happened in, even in some of the smaller public schools, but children are coming home, and parents are asking them, you know, what'd you learn in school? And the children's response is, oh, it's none of your business. I don't have to tell you. And that's basically 101 on what they're teaching a lot of children in school. And, you know, it's if you've got your kids in Christian school, if you got them in public school, whether you got them in, no matter what school you got them in, you need to be learning and know what they're teaching your children. And I just want to, you know, put that out there. And because, I mean, there's stuff that's in Christian school that's not right and not correct, and there's stuff in homeschool that's not right and not correct. Just as long as, you know, just the same way that there is in public school. So, you know, get involved and make sure that you know what your children are being taught. Find out... you know, the history books, the science books, you know, a lot of that stuff has changed. Even the curriculums have changed so much and so drastically. And, you know, our enemies know how to get to the next generation. And, you know, get involved, make sure that you know. A lot of people that are listening, I'm sure they don't have children in school right now, but there's a lot of them that do. And that's something that's just, I mean, it's something that's really important. And, you know, and sometimes it just takes, sometimes it takes very little to put a stop to something that they're, you know, that they're teaching your children, too. I've had to do that over the years where it's like, hey, you know, this is wrong and, you know, this ain't right. And, oh, really? And it's, some people just aren't educated on it. And, you know, other people are, you know, the enemy, and they're just doing what they've been told. But it's a real deal. And, you know, they've had this out there in, you know, some of the headlines. Just one of them that popped up today was hidden camera educators boast of sneaking left-wing agenda into classrooms, and it's talking about how they are trying to get their left-wing agenda into the classrooms and what they're trying to do to get it. And You know, it's there's nothing new under the sun, but it's something that's been going on and on and on, and people need to be aware of it.
You're right about that. You know, with the homeschooling curriculums, that thing, a few different ones of them that you know, they have stuff that's not correct. It's not you know, it's not right, and you got to filter that. Especially, you know, when it's a curriculum and you can put your eyes on it, that's one thing. But these video programs, you know, whenever you just sit them there in front of the computers and they go through their work, you really gotta watch that and make sure that they're not sneaking in the trash.
Right. And there is a lot of traffic on some of that stuff, and people really don't have, you know, any idea what's going on. It's like, okay, well, they automatically think that, you know, it's a homeschool program. It's better than anything else out there. Well, I'm not sure. It depends. I mean, you don't know. It's based on, you know, what the curriculum is and, you know, who's putting it out. And, you know, that's just where it's at.
Well, homeschooling don't have to be complicated either. What your children need is learning how to read and write, put their thoughts on paper, and do math. And that's all that education has to be. You don't have to get real complicated and get a lot of theory in there. I personally used Rod and the Staff, which I really loved. And my daughter went through sixth grade math in that thing. And then we put her in out of Chicago. We attached her to, and she qualified for second level algebra, but I couldn't teach it. That was just a simple, you know, story problems. Everything was relevant, and it was just a great curriculum. But I'm just saying, you know, homeschooling don't have to be complicated. The first thing I do, I said, we start imitating the school, and I got over that pretty quickly. And it don't have to be complicated. You got to learn a little something every day, you know, and being with your children and teaching them and being with them is a lot. And just teach them your ways, you know, and have the patience and the time to teach them. You know, take the time to do it. Because we're on a racetrack and we ain't getting anywhere, you know, just trying to make living, and our money's turning to dross. It just isn't buying nothing anymore. So, but this is all of God, you know. When I read that the other day about don't call it a conspiracy like everybody else. It's God that's doing this to us. Is it a conspiracy? No, it's a judgment from God. And this will work out for us because we're getting off our routine that we were brought up in, which isn't easy for us. It's all of us that takes change. But, you know, God is a patient God, and this has happened kind of slowly, actually. But, you know, the storm clouds are rolling. You know, you take that book of Colonel Moore about Ezekiel 38 and 39, that thing there, it's just building up, it looks like to me, for that. But it's the hand of God that's doing it, and that's a wonderful thing. So we shouldn't fret about it too much.
Amen. Well, guys, we got a couple callers. Let's go to this first one. Good morning, sir. Said you wanted to talk about, what was it, Isaiah?
Yeah, the scriptures that precede the newsletter scripture of Isaiah 27:1. In Isaiah 26:20, it says, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." And then the main scripture, "In that day the Lord will with a sore and great and sore strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." So I'm taking this, and the significance of September 1st is, if you look, just look it up, September 1st, 2013, the Pope, who runs this whole thing through the Code of Canon Law and the juridic person, had to dissolve all corporations. This is my interpretation. I looked at it over and over and over. And how to free the people because the Federal Reserve Act had expired. So he wrote a motu proprio, just type that in, and freed the people. So there was no immunity for the government's agents that were held us in captivity in the 10 square miles. The corporate, you know, United States and all that. I don't want to go on and on. But the whole point is that's when Biden, in front of the capital of the Republic on September 1st, made a declaration, because he's basically an agent for the Vatican. And in 2015, the Pope, you know, basically claimed all souls, S-O-L-E-S, you know, the sole of your foot for your birth certificate. Well, it just goes on and on. But the main point is that when you get educated on this, if you look under the Justinian deception on YouTube, there's an explanation of communism that is very, very good that we need to really look at over and over. Justinian deception, what is communism? Admiralty law, that's what I see this scripture as being. So I believe that there's a superimposed jurisdiction that is admiralty law, but the original jurisdiction still stands. That's why he did that with the Marines there, you know, admiralty, you know, the whole deal. So this, there are brethren that have pushed through. We need to look at the inauguration address from Trump, because he made an offer there to we the people to come out. We're not supposed to be in this jurisdiction. And then January 6th to me was acceptance, because that original land was Rome, Maryland. Look it up. And it's a threshold covenant. They're prisoners of war. And now we just have to enter the new covenant and do our job. Do your individual job. And then the collective will manifest. But yeah. Pastor Pete had the knowledge. But we have to now pick it up and go forward by faith. All right. Thank you, brothers.
Amen. Thanks. A lot there. Talking about what you had said, Josh, that, yeah, we're supposed to be the ones doing this. And there again, when we do our job, our responsibility that's put upon us, it all changes. It does. And we got another caller from Pennsylvania. Good morning, sir. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning. I wanted to say I ordered some materials from you, and one of them was Dirt to Soil. And I can't tell you how much we got from that. My son and I have few cattle on 40 acres here, and it just turned our whole thinking upside down about farming and everything. So, but that's not the major reason I called. The other reason was you're discussing schooling and things. I was in my Bible study here personally the last couple of days, and I'm studying Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah, and how he was pulled. The angels came to the house there, and the angels wanted to have their the decadent perverts wanted to have their way with the angels, and you know the whole story. But Lot said, no, he says, here's my daughters, here, do with them what you want. And people say, how could he do that? And we've often said that and wondered that. But you know, we do it today when we send our children out in the public school system, and we're telling them, go ahead, have your way with them, and their little spirits and souls are raped, and it's painful. And I just want you to think about that. And mostly, I think Lot's a picture of carnal Christians, of go along to get along. I want what I want, you know, and, well, don't cause waves and things like this. But that really opened my eyes when I saw how the correlation of giving our children out to this culture, set them in front of a horrible TV all day, put them in front of a screen, social media, go ahead, have your way with them. Do what you want. Just let us alone so we can do our thing. So that was just my take, one of them, and I appreciate your program, and I look forward to listening to it all the time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, brother.
I don't remember exactly the way that he worded it. As Peter said, it's not so much what you don't know, it's what you know that isn't so. That gets you, and it's so true. Once we learn and in truth a lie, and once we take that to be our belief, it's a lot harder to deprogram yourself and to learn the truth than if you were just a blank slate. We definitely have to guard ourselves and, you know, make sure that whatever it is that we're accepting is the truth. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Or, you know, Jason was talking about these the teachers. So many of them are just repeating what they were taught. You know, they never did question, just taking the same garbage that they were given and regurgitating it on to the next generation without any application of common sense or any due diligence done to see if it's the truth or not.
And sometimes you wonder who's writing our president, the president of the United States speeches, because as of the other day, Josh, did you know that according to the president of the United States, that a bullet that comes out of an AR-15 is traveling 5 times faster than out of any other gun?
Wow, that is super dangerous. Why would anybody need that? Uh-oh. And once again, ignorance. You know, a lot of things you heard the politicians say that are just outlandish. Actually, you wonder if it's not somebody back there that's just trying to make them look like it, or more like an idiot.
Yeah, there's a. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? It just makes you wonder. And there again, it's for those that know and those that don't. Well, guys, we got Dennis from North Carolina on the line. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Hey, earlier you guys were talking about immigration and Texas and the Mexicans coming across the border. I see things slightly different because I listened to Pastor for so long. I just kind of look at the overall picture. So here, the governor of Texas is being praised as this great guy because he's sending all the immigrants up to Washington, but yet the system that they have is being overwhelmed. So this good guy, who apparently is a good guy, overwhelming the system. I mean, if I were governor, I would send them back to the border. You know, these are technically, you're talking earlier about people who are working. They're taking our jobs. And anyway, that's kind of for free. The other thing I want to talk about, I know this is not a place for imprecatory prayer. I'll call back on Wednesday. But there is a mayor, you guys can check the website. The mayor is from Enfield, North Carolina. His name is Mondale Robinson. And he attacked some Confederate public statues, and he live-streamed it, and he's being portrayed as a hero. So I'll call in on Wednesday, and we'll pray for him. But the other thing I want to talk about, too, is with mayors. Everybody's worried about China doing this and China doing that. I used to live in Boston, and I go there about once a year. And the political system in Boston has changed significantly over the past, since I've lived there. And the entire, they have an Asian mayor in Boston now. And not only do they have an Asian mayor, but Cambridge, which is where Harvard is right next to Boston, and it's all Asian. I mean, it's like you're going to China. Like I said, I was there in September, and I was the only white person there. It was all Asian, and that's true of everybody thinks of Irish Catholic in Boston, but it's not like that anymore. It's almost all Asian. So just reaching out to people if they could pray. I see that happening too. Like everybody's worried about China. Well, if they put their people in place first, and their mayor of certain cities, there's going to be very little pushback if they actually quote unquote invade. So that was just kind of my thoughts for today. I appreciate you guys letting me share.
Yeah, what town was that in? Where that mayor was? What'd you say again?
That's Enfield, North Carolina, and his name is Mondale Robinson. And if you look at the picture, enfieldnc.org/mayor, I think one picture says it all. And apparently, quote unquote, he's under investigation. And I don't watch TV. The only one I found out about this was I was in the gym early in the morning and the TV was on, and they happened to show this guy, you know, as a news story, and he was being portrayed as some sort of hero because he got, I think he got a bulldozer and he knocked this Confederate statue down.
So. Yeah, they've been standing there for over 90 years, it looks like, and he was responsible for them bulldozing them down.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, too, I see a lot of this. I'm not going to name the specific cities, but I know of two other cities where you have, just like the current mayor of Boston, you have this woman, she's from China, 37 years old, just came here as an immigrant, and next thing you know, she's mayor of Boston, as if it happened by osmosis, right? There's a couple other cities out there that I won't mention, but I've seen the same thing happen. You have these foreigners, then they come in, next thing you know, they're mayor of the city. And I know of two in particular where that's happened, and I would call them secondary cities, but still, they are getting political power, and it happens, and it's happening a lot. So I'll call in on Wednesday. I get some imprecatory prayer for those particular cities that I found out about. So,
yeah, I believe Minneapolis is one of them.
That's a possibility. You know what? If you look at where all those cities have been going, everybody thinks of an urban city. They think it's you know, it's all black, you know, all cities, it's all black. That is true usually. However, the only cities where that's not true, and you got to think back the last couple of years where all these riots have been, are Minneapolis, Denver, I think Portland, and possibly Seattle, where a lot of this stuff has gone on. And that's because you have a white majority in all those cities, which is rare. Because on the East Coast here, it's the exact opposite. But I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these riots, you know. And you have the other one, the other city I meant or talk about is Tallahassee, Florida. The mayor, I think it's the mayor of Tallahassee, Florida, is a black man. And same sort of thing going on. He just rose up through the ranks, and next thing you know, he's mayor. I only think he's 40 years old. The other story, there's a woman, a poor woman, immigrant. She came to this country. I won't say from what country. She came to this country, you know, a single mother, two kids, and she worked her way up. Next thing you know, she's mayor of Asheville. I don't think she's 40 years old. How does that happen, right? Probably through hard work, right? Anyway, I see a lot of that going on in various places. Smaller cities, and definitely in Boston, you know, because I was amazed because I used to live there, and I go back there from time to time, and I am definitely a minority when I go back there. It's almost all Asian, and it's changed significantly over the years. So I'll appreciate you guys letting me vent, and I'll call back on Wednesday, and we'll pray some imprecatory prayers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not just happening on the southern border. It's not just happening in Texas or where they're bussing the invaders, where they've been flying them all over the country. It is. We talked about how we've had members of the congregation in Canada say that for years, 20 years, that you know, they've had so many Chinese up there that they've got signs in English and Chinese, and we've shared that with you, and you do, you see it all over, it was said in history that this nation will never be defeated by an invasion, but destroyed from within. I think Lincoln has said something about like that, and maybe that was the game plan. And I couldn't help but think, Josh, that you know, when he said, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it's when our people don't, when our people just sit back and, like the Song of Moses says, just grow fat and kick, just get fat and happy, so to speak, and let things be, and just instead of taking control, taking charge, doing our job, our responsibility, and these are the things that happen when we don't, when we haven't as a nation, as a people.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier, I think it was maybe the first, if not the second caller, how still you got to watch, you know, communism versus socialism versus democracy and, you know, all these different systems and isms and whatever. We debate them and we argue them and we take one and we defend it. But none of them are God's system. None of them are the government that he has for us to prosper in. It's important to remember that whenever, you know, you get to taking a stand for one ism or the other.
Right.
That none of them are for us.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Our God's the only God that died for us. All the rest of them want you to die for him. And we do, but then we're guaranteed life after that. Well, guys, we're running out of time. Any closing comments on anything, guys?
Well, you know, I was thinking the other day, too, it all comes down to personal responsibility. Back in Samuel, when they asked for a king, and he was distraught about it, and God said, the rebellion is not against you, Samuel, it's against me. He wants us to be responsible, and, you know, and whatever it is. And we got to quit looking to our government to give us credit to buy stuff, you know, because it's just going downhill. It's got to be based on productivity and labor. And the pulpit's got to be a clean house. If you don't work, you don't eat. I really think a lot of these preachers are in deep doo-doo because they're just not doing their job.
Amen. That's a fact. It's on us, each individual, to do our part and to follow God. That's where it starts, and that's where it ends. Do our part and look to him.
Amen. Well, men, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy weekend to join us this morning. Sure appreciate it, and I know it's been a blessing to the Remnant out there. And Remnant, thank you for joining us. And we'll invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We'd love to have you guys join us. And that, again, at scripturesforamerica.org. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth, a new message for you as well, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion and gather with like-minded Christians. So we hope you'll do that. And, guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord will. He's making his way, the only way he knew how. And that was a whole lot more than what the law would allow. He's still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good. see.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stake high. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting.